If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 27. Levi, the publican. Both one and the same. Matthew chapter number 27. And verse number 26. If you'd like to stand as we open the pages of the infallible book. Matthew chapter number 27. And verse number 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him. And parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. They passed by, reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise the chief priest mocked him with the scribes and elders, and said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land to the ninth. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Father, bless this book. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. This is Matthew's account of the crucifixion up until the point to where he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is the crucifixion. The crucifixion, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross is the heart and soul of the book. If you take the cross out of the Bible, what are you talking about? If you remove the cross from the Word of God, then all that happened in the Old Testament has no answer in the New. When you take the cross away from the Scripture, then it's all man's attempt to try to make himself better. And he sure can't do that. He's failed miserably. When we read the Word of God, though, in the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew the publican, he tells us that they crucified him. Now, that's only two words, and we think about the English language, sometimes words really fail to define and describe what's going on. There's none of us in this house this morning that really have a real understanding of what crucifixion was all about, apart from what we've seen in videos and so forth, as they've tried to make some depictions of what this horrible event is like. Even in the Philippines, each year around Easter, I think, some of them allow themselves to be nailed to a cross for a while, then they take them down. And even at that, they suffer a good bit, but it's still nothing compared to the crucifixion here in this book. Before he was ever taken to the cross to be crucified, he had been scourged by Pilate. His back had been laid open. The Bible says plainly that they could even see the sinew and the bone of this man called Jesus of Galilee. There he was nailed upon a cross and dropped into a hole. There he hung suspended between heaven and earth. What did he do, preacher, to commit such a horrible crime? to be taken out like that as a common thief and nailed up on a tree outside Jerusalem. He loved people. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. He walked on water. He came to this world and brought light to a dark and dying world. That's what he did. He's guilty completely of love. Yes, sir. Nobody ever loved like that man. I'm talking about real love, not selfish love. He loved those that were unlovable. He loved those that filthy, despicable, godless people. Yet he loved them. He loved them the only way that he can love. But I want you to notice some things about the cross. If I preach this morning on the cross, I could talk about the actual wooden cross of the Lord Jesus, because it was a real cross that he was nailed to. You could even take a piece of that cross, and if possible, you could put it in your pocket and carry it around with you. But it's not possible. I don't believe it exists anywhere on this earth. But even if it did, even if you could put that cross in your pocket, it wouldn't do you any good. The wood that Jesus died on wouldn't help you a bit. It couldn't change your nature. Couldn't do one thing to change you from a child of hell to a child of God. And then, my friend, the pieces of jewelry that folks wear depicting the cross. Some of you have crosses on this house this morning. That's okay, but even if you've got a cross around your neck and you carry it around, or you you're wearing it on your arm or something, that's not going to do you any good either. That can't help you. Then there's the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can preach the cross in this historical setting. You can say that it's something that really did happen, and it did. There's no denying it. It happened 2,000 years ago. You can preach about Pilate and about the Romans and about the fact that they had taken the Holy Land and they were the powers that be, and that Christ died under the iron hand of Rome. You could say that, but you could also preach it in the religious aspect and say, well, the religious leaders delivered him up to be crucified, and that's very true. Then you could preach the theology of the cross. The theology of the cross is what the Apostle Paul developed in the New Testament. When he went to the book of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, when he began to talk about the theology of the cross, he began to talk about it in a high and holy manner that a lot of people have a hard time understanding. And then, my friend, you could preach the message of the cross. When you preach the message of the cross, you come down to what is it saying to you. What is the cross saying to you today? You take the Muslim, for example. When he sees a cross, the only thing he thinks about is the Crusades. The Crusades happened about 1,000 years ago. 1029 A.D. was the Children's Crusade. They came out of England. They came out of France. They came out of Europe, and they came down into the Holy Land to deliver it from the hand of the infidel. The infidel was the Muslim. And by then, they had more than one crusade. And so when a Muslim sees a cross, all he knows is the Crusades. That's all he can think about. That's all the cross means to him. Amen. And then to the Jew, if you preach to him the cross or show him a cross, he won't deny that the cross existed. But to the Jew, the cross is an indication of somebody that was cursed. He was cursed of God because he hung upon a tree. So you're not going to get much with a Jew when you talk about the cross. To this secular religious world, and you preach the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, to them it's just a novel thing. It's something to talk about, but it has no power in it. There are people who wear crosses around their neck, and they have crosses in their homes, but they live like hell itself. It doesn't do them any good. It's just some kind of a cultural thing. It's part of being born into a Christian culture, but friend, that does not make you a Christian. So I want to preach to this morning the message of the cross. Would you hear me? I want to talk to you about the message of the cross. What is that cross preaching? It says something. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ has a message to preach. Now, he's not the only one that ever hung up on a cross. Oh, no, they were crucified before him, and they were crucified since him. But have you ever heard the term the cross of the Lord Jesus? Have you ever heard that saying, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? And the reason you hear that is because it is his cross. There's no other cross like his cross. His cross stands apart from all of the other crosses where men have ever died. The first message that it'll preach to you this morning, and it's going to preach it loud and clear. If you can't see it, you're blind. When you look at the cross, you better be able to see this. There's love preaching from that cross. There's somebody that hung on that tree that loved you. My friend, he died because he loved you, and he proved his love for you. He didn't give you empty words. He didn't give you political promises like you hear contract every year with a politician, promise you the world, but he can't deliver. But no, my friend, he said, I lay my life down, and no man takes it from me. It is the cross preaching the message of pure, unadulterated love. There are a lot of my friend that have, they have people that love them. That's good that you've known love in this world. Thank God that you've known love. But until you've been loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, you really don't understand the depths, the heights, the width, the greatness of what love can do for you. Love accepts you just as you are. Love reaches out to you just where you are. And love will change you from a child of hell to a child of God. It is the love of God that is unadulterated. It's pure, and it's got a message for us today. I was as unlovable as they come, but his love reached down and got a hold of my soul. When I look at this cross, I look at one who was not taken to the cross. He wasn't led to the cross. He gave himself on the cross. And there he gave himself because he loved us. I'll tell you another message that the cross preaches. And if you don't get this message, you don't understand the cross. He went to that tree because for him, the fact that he wanted to forgive you. Forgiveness is at the cross. The Bible said God was in Christ. And it was there at the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. God has to be just and the justifier of them that believeth on Jesus. And the only way God can be just and justify the ungodly is to pay the debt himself. And he did it at the cross so he could forgive you. Every man that's ever raised his head, I don't care if he raised it from death row, I don't care if he raised it from prison cell, it doesn't matter if he raises it from some hell hole. If he feast his eyes upon the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, he can get forgiveness. There is forgiveness at the cross. There is no other place on the face of this earth where the land, the ground, is as level as it is at the cross. When the Lord Jesus Christ hung upon that cross, he became absolutely colorblind. He doesn't care what your color is. He doesn't care who you came from. He doesn't care who you know. He will say to the uttermost, all that come to him. Have you ever seen the cross as a place of forgiveness? If you've never been to the cross to be forgiven, you don't know what forgiveness is. You're not forgiven in some sweet sounding, some beautiful religious service. Somebody waves their hand over your head and pronounce you forgiven. You're forgiven if you go to the cross and cling to the one on the tree and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the one dying on that cross will freely and completely forgive you. I got forgiveness. I got forgiveness. I got forgiveness. Hallelujah. I got forgiveness at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's something else I see at the cross of the message of the cross. The cross is preaching this one too, and it's preaching it loud and clear. What is that, preacher? The cross is a place of intervention. It is where Almighty God intervened between the affairs of men and God. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5 that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. I don't think you understand what that means. I don't think the world understands what that means. In that Old Testament scripture, God is portrayed as an angry God, angry with the wicked every day of their life. Even the plowing of the wicked, the Bible said, is an abomination to Almighty God. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There is no access for the wicked unto Almighty God. Cursed to hellfire is the message of the Old Testament. There is no hope. The only hope is what God can do for man. And the Bible said God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. What does that mean, preacher? That means he came to the cross with a drawn sword. That means he came to the cross with his law violated. That means that Almighty God came to the tree. He'd been violated. He'd been sinned against. My friend, men had rebelled against him. And God could have smitten them down and cast them into hellfire. But at the cross, he reconciled them unto himself. Laid the sword down and picked up an olive branch and stuck it out to mankind. Yes! I don't don't think you still understand what I'm saying. He has said, I am no longer that almighty eternal Father that resides in glory, in anger, but now he's satisfied. He smells the sweet savor of the sacrifice of his Son, and his soul shall be satisfied, not until the Lord Jesus Christ breathed his last and offered himself unto the Father. Was the Father satisfied? But now he was. He'll see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Now it's no longer an angry God with a drawn sword ready to cast you into hell, fire, and damnation. No, that's over. Now it's in the hands of the Son, the Savior, who died for mankind. And now it is the work of the Holy Ghost of God to bring Christ out into this world. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. My friend, it's about the Holy Ghost telling you about Jesus. Are you listening to the message of the cross? Why don't you put down your sword? Why don't you turn from your hatred? Why don't you turn from your rebellion? Be ye reconciled to God. He's already reached out. What more can he do? And he asks you to return that to him. Come to him, he said, and I will in no wise cast you out. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for a message like that. Now when I look at the cross, it begins to preach. There's another message that comes out of the cross. What is that, preacher? That's the message of sanctification. What does that mean? The cross is a separating point. It's a dividing line. It's a place of demarcation. It's a mark in the earth. It's a place that cannot be ignored. The cross is God Almighty's statement, his exclamation mark, his mark upon this earth. And there are those that embrace the cross, and there are those that deny the cross. There are those that accept the Son, and there are those that deny the Son. The Father has done all the Father can do or will do. He sits now in his own holiness and his glory. And the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is now the one that deals with mankind. It'll be Christ upon that white throne that has all marched before him as the judge of all mankind. And here, my friend, the Apostle Paul says, I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified unto me. Do you know what he just said? He said, because I believe the message of the cross, it separates me from this world that is a curse to God, that is going down to hell, fire, and damnation. I received the message of the cross, and because of that, I am crucified in the world, and the world unto me. It is a place of sanctification. Then there's another message of the cross, and that is this message. It is a place, the message of glory. When the cross preaches, it preaches glory. What is that? The Apostle Paul said, I will glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He won't glory in his ministry. He won't glory in his message. He won't glory in his church. He won't glory in his message. He will not glory in men. He said, but I will glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's glory in the cross. How could that be, preacher? He hung upon a tree. He was cursed upon the tree. He had, my friend, he was there, and as all appearances were cursed of God on that tree. Yes, all that is true. But my friend, it was all of that that he took within himself. Then they took the accursed one and buried him in a virgin tomb. There he lay for 3 days. And then on the third day, thank God, he arose from the dead. And when he arose from the dead, he broke the curse. Curse is gone. Curse couldn't hold him. He could not be shackled. His beloved arose. His beloved arose. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He arose. And now my friend the Apostle Paul says, I glory in the cross, because he knew the power of the cross. He knew what the cross could do in a man's life. He knew that the cross is where God Almighty restored mankind to himself. He knew it was the cross of the message of the cross that would save sinners. We preach Christ and him crucified. The Apostle Paul said, I could preach anything to you. all kinds of messages, well qualified to do it. He said, but I come to preach Christ and Him crucified. Let me tell you something, folks. We're entering the Easter season. We're getting close to that time where everybody starts thinking about the resurrection. And rightfully so. Hallelujah for the resurrection. Thank God that He arose from the dead. But folks, He had to die first. He had to die first. The cross is an absolute integral part of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross, the tomb, and the resurrection go hand in hand. Oh, how they'd love to do away with Him. How they'd love to wipe His name from the face of the earth. But it's not going to happen. My friend, just, I don't know how long ago it's been, but it hadn't been too long, because I've checked the Encyclopedia Britannica that was published in 1920s, 30s, somewhere in there. Didn't have a word in it about it. But there's a substance called laminin. I don't know if you ever heard of it or not, but you know your body's made up of cells. Cells, nose cells, ear cells, heart cells, cell structure. That's the basic building block, the basic structure of your body, is cell. But they had discovered that something holds the cell together. If it didn't have it, the cell would literally come apart. And if the cells came apart, you'd come apart. And the Bible says that He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. He holds it together. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful thing. He holds me together. He orders my day. He gives me life and He gives me breath. Bless His name. Hallelujah. But then somebody sent me an email the other day and said, look at this preacher. So I looked at it and I thought, well, I'm going to find out for myself. So I went on to a secular site. And I went on to a secular site that had no bone to pick and had nobody to support one way or the other. And I typed in the word laminin. And lo and behold, it pulled up the same diagram that I got from the Christian. You know what it is? It's amazing. Your cells are held together by a substance that is formed in a cross. That blew my mind. Long before Christ ever went to the cross, when He made the first man, He put His mark in you. That the cross, you can't deny it. You can't. Oh, I'm sure there's an awful lot of scientists out there that don't like this. But they can't change it. Because it's as fixed and as real in science as anything. Laminin is shaped like a cross. And that's what holds the cells together. He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. In plain words, the cross is holding me together. Glory to God. For 27 years, the cross held me together, and I cursed Him, blasphemed His holy name. Now I know it. And what am I going to do but glorify and praise Him till I'm gone from here? Thank You, Lord Jesus. I don't live of my own. I live because He lives, and He holds me together. And it's the cross. If you want to see a picture of this, how many of you like to see a picture of it? How many of you like to follow up on what we tell you in here? We didn't get it out of a funny book somewhere. You're used to hearing a lot of funny book stuff. Believe me. Most of what you get from politicians is funny book stuff. Check with Gene Lawson. He'll fire you up like you wouldn't believe. This old boy over here sends me some emails that blow my mind. And that's one of them. The cross was one of the best things I ever got. Let him give you his references, show you where it came from. Your body is held together by a substance that is formed in a perfect cross. Now, it could have been made in a million different ways, but He made it as a cross. He wanted to put His mark in there, and it's in there, and you can't do a thing about it. Father, in Jesus' name, I got the message. And that's only what we know about. How much more in this body that David said is fearfully and wonderfully made that we don't even know about? Yet it witnesses to thee. I don't have to know any more of it. I don't have to. If I do, good, but I don't have to, because I know You hold it together. I know You hold all things together. God, we pray. I've heard the message of the cross. Thank the Lord Jesus who died for me, shed his precious blood that I could be saved. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask it now in Jesus' name. If there's one in this house, they don't know you. They've never been born again. They don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Their sins weigh them down. God, they have no hope. They came in here this morning walking in darkness. They'll leave in darkness if they don't have the light of life. Jesus, we pray in thy sweet holy name. Blessed be thy sweet, sweet, sweet precious name, the precious Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. In thy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand up and sing this morning. What have we got, folks?
Page 79 in the All-American Church Hymnal.
The All-American Church Hymnal. This is what it looks like.
Arise and give my Savior praise, and give my sovereign love.
That's the actual substance. That looks to me like a cross. Well, that was an accident. No. Mother Nature, no, I'm sorry. Forget Mother Nature. She didn't have anything to do with it. The Maker did that. The Creator did that. The Almighty did that. When it speaks and brings worlds into existence, He did that. I carried that in me for 27 years and didn't know it. Then I got saved. Carried it in me for another 30-something years and didn't know it. Now I know it. I'm full of crosses. Forever sail, I've got my body, I've got a cross. That's what holds your cells together. You got billions of cells in your body. I don't know how many they say. Billions and billions, isn't it? Something like that. You know what a billion is? 1,000 million? Just think of all the crosses inside you. Full of them. Can't get away from the cross, can you? I'd like to see the face of an unsaved man when you tell him he's full of crosses. I'd see the face of a Muslim when you tell him he's full of crosses. He wouldn't appreciate that a bit, would he? Here's another picture of it in its structure with the name of all of the parts that make up laminin. There it is. I went to a German website. I wanted to see what the Krauts had to say. You know they're pretty smart, don't you? So I went to the German website, see what they said. Same thing. And it was a secular website. Same thing. Say, can you read German? No, they got an English. You punch a little thing at the top, says either English or German. So I punch English. Full of crosses. Sing another verse, brother. It's amazing, too. You can read the terminology around this thing. Basically, its sole purpose is to hold it all together. Binding. The cells are being constantly created in your body. The cells die out, more cells come along. But they can't stay in there, and they can't do anything unless this shows up. The binding. That's what holds it together. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you walk out of here this morning, you can go home and remind yourself to thank God for the cross. If it wasn't for the cross, I'd come unglued. That's the truth. Literally. The cross is what keeps you glued together. Amen. Let's sing one more verse. One more.
Well, might the sun in darkness hide, and shut his glory in, when Christ the Father.
the church as we receive members. I think we got somebody to join with us this morning. Amen. Mrs. Grindstaff, you folks didn't know, if you don't know that, this dear brother and sister are a husband and wife now. This is Florence Ann Grindstaff. She wants to come join up with us. Do you have anything you'd like to say to the folks? Okay. Okay. You may not. All right. I don't know if all of you know J. Harold Smith or not. Now he's one of my heroes. And she said she was saved at his one of the revivals that he preached. And the message was God's three deadlines. J. Harold Smith was known for that message. God's three deadlines. Amen. And I'm glad and fortunate that I got to know that brother in my lifetime and his. One fine man of God, J. Harold Smith. Amen. All right. How do you want to join with us here this morning? By letter. All right. She wants to join by letter. What's the pleasure of this assembly bringing her in by letter? Motion's made. Second to the motion. Those in favor, shift, so lifting right hand. Amen. All right. We want you to come by and shake hands with her. And Brother Grindstaff, would you come down here and stand next to her? I haven't had a chance to talk to her, brother, but what all I know about you, you know, so you... It's the best thing you do, just kind of play it cool right now and be cool, brother. Be cool. All right. Let's pray. God bless you. Come by here now. Yes, sir. Okay, brother. You go, folks, be seated for just a moment. Brother Rayleigh wants to be anointed. Anybody like to come up to the front here?